Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to the Junks, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just go to cropmetcalf.com, join their team today. Right now, we're joined on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit betql.com. It's Brad Spielberger, salary cap analyst, does a lot of R&D for Pro Football Focus. Brad, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing well. Before we get into Super Wild Card Weekend, I want Brad Spielberger to give me a realistic upgrade option for the Washington football team at quarterback in 2022 that does not include Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, or Deshaun Watson.
I gotcha. I think the man to keep an eye on is Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Derek Carr. I think if they do go ahead and move on from the GM and the head coach, which it does look like is going to be the case, I think the Jim Harbaugh buzz is growing again, and I think there is a possibility they maybe come in, this new regime comes in and says, let's just tear the whole thing down and start over, and maybe they decide the easiest and quickest way to do that is to trade Derek Carr for as much as they can get.
Give me your thoughts on Derek Carr versus Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think Derek Carr has a much better ability to operate outside of structure. You know, I'm not going to put all of the benefit of the Kyle Shanahan offense. I'm not going to say Jimmy Garoppolo is not a good quarterback, but I think he benefits from his system more than any quarterback in the NFL. I think Carr used to a bit as well. I think we knew him as a guy who had a great offensive line and good weapons and benefited from that. The last couple of years, his offensive line has been awful, and he's still been producing at a very high level. And yes, they have some good weapons, but of course lost several of them during the season, and he still managed to win four straight games, get into the playoffs. I think he is he's a notch above Jimmy Garoppolo in my eyes.
Brad, speaking of weapons for quarterbacks, are we going to see more of what we've seen this past season with guys like Deebo Samuel and Cordarrelle Patterson, where guys, and that was kind of the idea when Washington signed Curtis Samuel to his free agent deal, where guys almost become positionless. You see, wideouts taking more snaps out of the backfield. Are we going to see teams experimenting with that more in 2022 and beyond, seeing what Samuel and Patterson, the impact they've had with their teams?
110%. I think we are approaching a positionless football, both on offense and defense. But, on offense, even a guy like a Kadarius Toney, the draft pick this past year out of Florida, who obviously did not play much, was injured. But another guy you'll probably see get a couple carries, just like Curtis Samuel did in Carolina. Even Kyle Pitts, of course, is a tight end, but he's also basically an X receiver. Mike Gesicki in Miami is a pending free agent. Miami might put a franchise tag on there, and I'll tell you right now, there could be a battle over, is Mike Gesicki a wide receiver? Is he a tight end? Just like how Jimmy Graham tried to argue back in the day with the New Orleans Saints that he was technically a wide receiver. I think this is going to continue to grow and grow in the NFL.
Well, I think Gesicki's going to win that argument most likely, right? Because I think the majority of his snaps came as a wideout, not as a tight end.
So it's funny. The arbitrator on the Jimmy Graham case, his deciding factor was how many snaps is the player, I think it's four, I want to say it's 4 yards away from the tackle on a given snap. And he basically argued that a slot in the slot is not actually out wide. So they were able to convince them that Jimmy Graham was a tight end because they kind of didn't take into account a lot of his slot snaps unless he was, very far away from the tackle in the slot. And if you look at Gesicki's numbers to Graham, they're almost identical. So I think his agency will make the argument and they'll try to make the same case, but I honestly still think he'll probably end up as a tight end on the franchise tag.
Where do you stand on Carson Wentz?
Oof, I don't stand in a good place. I mean, You know, I think it's hard to make any excuses for him. I do think he could have better receiving options. I really like Michael Pittman Jr., their number one wide receiver. Outside of him, they really did not have a good receiving option on the team. So you can maybe make that case. But, you know, one of the better offensive lines in football, one of the better offensive minds as a head coach in Frank Reich, and a good culture builder, and they, you know, had a great defense that put them in advantageous field position all the time with a bunch of turnovers. I mean, I'm not sure how much better a situation could get, and he still was just not a great quarterback this year.
Oh, we're just trying to find options that are realistic. The problem with the Carr option is, I mean, I understand you come in, you get a new coach, new GM, want to maybe start over, but that's a pretty good starting piece. He's not great, but he's a pretty good starting piece, right? And very easily do worse there. I know I have Raiders fans that hit me up all the time and say, why would we give up on Carr?
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. The other side of the coin would be, look, you know, getting a quarterback is the hardest part.
Yeah.
And maybe make decisions around him, but build around Derek Carr. So I totally hear you there. And so if you think he's not available, you know, there are definitely some less inspiring and less exciting options. I mean, maybe even his backup in Marcus Mariota, if you want to explore that option. I mean, otherwise you're looking at, you know, the Jameis Winston, the Mitchell Trubisky's of the world, and I know you're not super excited hearing those names if I had to guess.
Do any of those guys, those kind of second-tier guys, do any of them have a chance to pull a Ryan Tannehill? And why was Tannehill able to do it in Tennessee?
You know, I would say, and a Chicago Bears fan, I would say that I never really believed in Mitchell Trubisky, but the more the Matt Nagy offense, or kind of lack thereof, played out over the past couple of years without Mitchell Trubisky, and you see veterans like Andy Dalton, Nick Foles, and the young, very talented rookie in Justin Fields, and none of them could produce, maybe you can make a case and make an argument. Look, he's been in Buffalo now with offensive coordinator Brian Daboll and quarterbacks coach Ken Dorsey, both of whom get a ton of credit for Josh Allen's turnaround. So I think the thing with Trubisky is he played in shotgun in Chicago about 80% of his snaps. It was not the system for him. And so in the same exact way as Ryan Tannehill, if you brought him in and you ran under center play action where the run game came first and then you wanted Trubisky, once they, you know, quote unquote, established the run, to then throw the ball, you know, 20, 25 times a game, not 35, 40 like he was in Chicago, maybe there's a case to be made that he could have a turnaround like a Ryan Tannehill. He is good throwing on the move, going left and right. It was one of the few things that I thought he did pretty well. So yeah, maybe that is possible.
Joined by Brad Spielberger, analyst for Pro Football Focus. Give him a follow on Twitter at PFF_Brad. Did I hear correctly that you're a Bears fan? Did you just mention that?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Okay, I want to know, like, do you have an inside track on who you think might be the next head coach there? And I'm guessing whoever that's going to be, the first thing that they're going to talk about in the interview is, are you willing to unlock and cater to the skill set of Justin Fields? Because it didn't seem like Nagy was, you know, willing to do it, or he did it kind of, you know, toward the end of his tenure there in Chicago. That's got to be priority one for whoever steps in there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, not to be oversimplifying, but whatever their field arguably matters more than everything else. For that reason, I think Brian Daboll is the leader in the clubhouse in Chicago. He obviously has connections as well. They hired Bill Polian to kind of oversee this whole process. Brian's school with Bill Polian's son, so he's known him for about 20 plus years now. I think he's definitely a leader in the clubhouse. Obviously, you know, his work with Josh Allen, I think Fields is a pretty similar player. I think Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator of Indianapolis Colts, has impressed them in the interview as a strong candidate and is a name to watch there. If they go defense, they obviously have to find a way to bring in a strong offensive coordinator and build an infrastructure around Justin Fields. So that is a bit concerning. But I think those two names so far are probably the leaders. That being said, they've been pretty adamant that a GM comes first, and then that GM will have a lot of say on the head coach. So even though they're interviewing simultaneously, you know, things might change once they do hire their GM.
Talking to Brad Spielberger, analyst for Pro Football Focus, I saw one of your tweets from a few days ago about Joe Burrow and how you think processing and anticipation may matter more than athletic ability and arm strength. Burrow, I think, was your number one PFF-graded quarterback this year. Do you give him a chance against the Titans?
Yeah, so, you know, I think there is still a threshold of athleticism you have to hit, right? I'm not saying you can be a bad athlete and can, just because, you know, you have quick processing, can get away with it. But I do kind of believe that. You know, I think Joe Burrow had a lot of knocks for arm strength and still does, but I'm not going to say it doesn't matter. But when you process football that well, it kind of doesn't matter at times. That being said, I think it is a tough matchup this weekend in Tennessee. Cincinnati lost a bunch of guys this past week. You know, that's why these buys are so important. And one notable guy they lost was their nose tackle, Larry Ogunjobi, who's been great at stuffing the run this year in Cincinnati. And I think, you know, with a healthy Derrick Henry expected in Tennessee, they might, if they get an early lead, Tennessee does, and they can just pound the rock, and the Cincinnati run defense is a bit banged up, I think it could spell trouble for Cincinnati.
Brad, I know that Buffalo offense had a few ups and downs during the season, clearly an up against the Patriots in the playoff game. Are they a little bit better when they don't rely so much on Diggs as the number one guy, where they're getting guys like Dawson Knox and Gabriel Davis and Manny Sanders more involved in the offense?
Yeah, I think always, you know, you want to spread the ball around. But actually, I did some research. I did this analysis a bunch of years ago. But basically looking at target distribution and target share and how offenses perform early in the season versus late in the season. And early in the season, if you're a team that concentrates a lot of your targets to one player, it's okay. The one example that kept popping up was the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. And they would start every season like 8-0, and Michael Thomas would have 100 catches and all these things. And then the second half of the season and come playoff time, defensive coordinators would just key in on their best player, take him out of the game, and they couldn't really beat them once Michael Thomas was out. And so I think that is huge, where Gabriel Davis stepping up as a young player, you know, Cole Beasley, I mean, even guys like Isaiah McKenzie, they had a lot of contributions. Now the run game looks a lot better as well. I think it's massive. As incredible a player Stephon Diggs is, come playoff time, you need to have three or four receiving options.
And you know what? They also made a choice, too, at running back, and you touched on it. They said, you know what? Devin Singletary, the backfield is yours now. Zach Moss taking a much more, you know, secondary and complementary role.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the teams treat it differently. Some teams you see have the one workhorse. You know, Pittsburgh, obviously, Najee Harris doesn't come off the field. They do it in Carolina as well. When a guy's healthy, he doesn't come off the field. And then other teams, they go by the committee and they like to switch guys out. And I think it just wasn't working, and they finally realized, let's just keep a guy in there. And I think the issue in general, their thought was, you know, Singletary is a bit of a small guy. Maybe they don't view him as a true three-down back or whatever the case may be. But I think he's shown at this point that you can trust him to be out there, whether you're going to run, pass, or he needs the pass block. And he's finally shown that he's good enough to do all those things, at least at a you know, a baseline level. And I think it's smart for him to just stick with one guy as they can.
When you looked at what Brady did this year, I think people keep forgetting how old he is. Like, I even hear radio guys going, yeah, he's like 41. No. He's like 44, going to be 45. It's unbelievable. What did you see? What kind of deterioration in his play did you see?
Yeah, it's truly remarkable. I think we've come to take him for granted. I mean, he's not going to win MVP, but I think it's kind of silly there wasn't more of a discussion with him and Aaron Rodgers. He's probably going to finish second, so it's obviously still a remarkable achievement. You know, I think, look, athletically, when you're 44 years old, you're probably going to show some decline, but he's a perfect example of what we talked about earlier. So he is getting the ball out. His time to throw was the second fastest in the NFL this year, only behind Ben Roethlisberger. And Roethlisberger's issue was his time to throw was super fast. He was also throwing the ball about 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. Tom Brady was second fastest getting the ball out and was still top five in average depth of target down the field throughout the entire season. I mean, it's genuinely remarkable what he's done. Yes, has a phenomenal offensive line and great receivers, but in that playoff game against Philly, he had multiple injuries on the offensive line, and they're missing a ton of receivers, and he still was just carving them up.
Brad, thanks as always for the time. We always feel smarter after you're on. We appreciate it. It's Brad Spielberger, analyst for Pro Football Focus at PFF_Brad. Thanks again, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Yep. Yeah, thank you, guys.
Of course. All right, we're going to pivot away from the NFL. When we come back, Eric Bickle is going to regale us with entertainment page stories, and Valdez is back. So who knows what the EP is going to look like?
I can't wait.
Oh, really?
He's ready. He's ready for the first EP back in a week plus. So we'll do that next here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.